So I think we're live on YouTube. So hi all, welcome to episode 21 of the All About FPL podcast. This is for Game Week 21, episode 21. It's me Aditya with Sankalp. Suresh is not available today, so it's me today with Sankalp. We're going to be discussing about Game Week 20 so far, what we have seen. We'll look at the transfer trends, the price rises and drops. Look at few player debates in terms of which players to pick, basically three versus with the data. And then we'll be looking at Game Week 21 and what we will be expecting further down the line in terms of any doubles, fixture, postponements, and all, answering your questions and then getting ready with Game Week 21. So I'm going to go straight away to Sankalp. How was your Game Week 20 so far?
So far, it's good. I'm in 60 plus. 60 plus is good. The journey continues for me. I was, pre-World Cup, I was 2.9 million. Now I've crawled back to around 1.4 odd million. So I feel good, half the rank. And could have better. You'd never know with Haaland. It can be better tonight. But still happy in general, overall happy. Especially, I think Arsenal's result keeps, adding on to the happiness. I'm not much worried about FPL.
Yes, Arsenal are, I think all of us need to consider that Arsenal are serious title contenders. And it's not a joke anymore. We are almost nearing the, we have started the second half of the season now, almost reaching the peak, what we can say, most chaotic time in terms of fixtures and everything, congestion. So yeah, Arsenal have been playing well, and yeah, they deserve to get whatever points they're getting because of the way they play. Anyways, Game Week 20 for me so far has been okay. Mitrovic didn't technically miss a pen. He slipped and people were debating of whether he should get the points.
I was so disappointed. I have a double Newcastle defense, right? So I was like, oh shit, I missed out, and then suddenly he's like, okay, it's not a goal. Too good.
Yes. And in terms of Game Week 20 for me, I had to pull the trigger in terms of Darwin Nunez. I had to ship him out. And I went for Kane, because obviously. And in that course, I had to get rid of Cancelo. So I went with Doherty. And unfortunately, we're getting news that Doherty might not play today because he's ill. So I'm not sure whether that's the truth which I've seen, or I got pranked by someone. Anyways, we'll know in some time. But anyways, I don't expect Spurs keeping any clean sheet today. But overall, I think one positive for me is United beating City. That was a great game. Other than that, I have nothing else. I think Game Week 20 went pretty much like autopilot in terms of other than the game against Brighton-Liverpool. What do you want to say on that?
Brighton-Liverpool. I mean, great game, right? I'm so, excited about Brighton assets now. Considering the fact that we are just buying one now. Onstein just confirmed that Arsenal have reached an agreement for Trossard, but he was not starting for Brighton over the last 4-5 matches. So I'm very, very excited about Brighton assets. I think 3-0 demolition of Liverpool, that could have been 5-0 or more. At one point, I thought they will, keep attacking. Maybe they'll keep missing and Liverpool will hit on counters and win. But they managed to not only win, not only score, they managed to keep a clean sheet as well. I think we are sleeping a bit on Brighton assets. And this, game week, I really want to talk about them. Because gameplay-wise, really, really good. Very strong. I think very similar to Arsenal in the way they build up, in the way they try to attack. And a lot of changes, interchanges between the personnel, right? Some good assets there. And especially for someone like me who's chasing, I think I really want to go there.
Yes, indeed. I think Brighton have been really, really playing well under Roberto De Zerbi. And the performances have just improved gradually, game by game. And especially against Liverpool, we could see the way they were building up so quickly, so slick, you can say, right through the middle, not going sideways and all, just through the middle. And they were just cutting through Liverpool. And Liverpool were really struggling. And we could see Van Dijk's absence, hitting them very hard. But Liverpool's attack is what we are seeing, midfield and attack, where there is some sort of disjoint. And there is where Liverpool are really, really lacking. I think Gakpo, for that price bracket, was really promising. But the thing is that they're not able to get the end product, even the way Salah was struggling. I think if Salah struggles, the entire Liverpool attack struggles, and it's very much evident.
Yeah, That midfield looks really, really bad now, right? If Brighton could run over that midfield, they'd completely dominated those central spaces. It's not helping Liverpool at all. I was excited about Gakpo as a differential asset. I think Suresh and I spoke about it a bit, but you just have to wait and watch now, right?
Yes. Moving on, I think one of the other games that I managed to watch was Chelsea versus Palace. And that was a pretty much more or less a dull 90 minutes. But overall, Chelsea, we can say what we could say, played the basics well. They were passing well. I think Potter is again getting them from scratch, from base zero, and getting them step by step. And they've managed to pick Arsenal's so-called very high-profile target. Arsenal were very much after. It's very unfortunate that this has been happening constantly with Arsenal, with Chelsea going and nabbing the players. So they've got from Ukraine. I hope I pronounce Mykhailo
Modric,
Mudryk.
yeah.
Yeah, for 100 million, and I think he's priced 7. I think in FPL.
Yeah, 7 million midfielder.
So we'll see how they play. But Chelsea overall, not that promising really in terms of assets. We're still a long way off. But I think with James and Chilwell, they're back. I think we'll see what happens with Chelsea. But other than that, I wasn't very impressed.
Yeah, a lot of people are talking about James and Chilwell, being back and jumping on defense, right? I don't know what you feel, but I'm so happy with my defense. I have Saw, I have Trippier, I have Botman, Newcastle guys are settled, and I have White. White I benched for this first match, and we had an 8-pointer, I missed out on. These four guys are, most of them are relatively cheap, and one guy I have on bench, I think Patterson was injured. I don't feel the need to go there. I know a lot of people are, asking this a high potential, et cetera, but come on, the rate at which we are getting returns from Newcastle, from Saw, from even Arsenal defense, right? I'm like, what better than that, right? Why do we need to go, change or play around with things? I'm not going to jump over to James or Chilwell. I have decided I'm just going to, wait and watch, wait and watch. Maybe a blank game week where there's limited option you need to think, but apart from that, I think fairly okay with the way things are going, at least from a defense point of view.
Yeah, I actually said that Chelsea will improve once James and Chilwell are back. I didn't mean to say we need to go and get James and Chilwell,
No,
obviously.
I saw on Twitter, once these are very fairly popular, FPL assets, right? The moment you see that they're back in training, everyone is like, hey, should we, start jumping on it? Maybe it's a differential. I'm like, okay, it's a differential, but wait and watch.
Yes, and yeah, wait and watch indeed. I think it's overall very much easy for us to summarize Chelsea. Newcastle versus Fulham. I think Fulham more or less played well in the first half. Mitrovic missed a pen later, and then it was more or less a goalless draw. I think Newcastle's fifth or sixth game in a row that was supposed to be a goalless draw, but somehow Alexander Isak managed to score a goal. And yet again, Newcastle are starting to prove that they are indeed a team that is contending for a spot in the top four. Anything else you want to add in terms of that game and also the subsequent game that's in our list, that's Spurs v Arsenal?
I mean, overall, I think we dominated the match completely. Conte's team is, sitting back. I think they have conceded for the 11th consecutive match now, right? And they keep conceding first also, right? So at least first defense, right? Like you were talking about Doherty, I like, okay, very, very, that's one of the reasons I did not go there in spite of the double, was they just keep conceding, right? Very difficult to get returns out of these players. Today's match, tonight's match, I feel Spurs will try to hit, but it's Man City at home. Even Pep's team has lost, so I do expect, City to run rampant and score a lot of goals. But having gone to Kane over the last game week, I hope that, he gets a chance. He's such a player, right? He's just, even against Arsenal, I think he had two chances and he really went for both the chances. At least the second one, Ramsdale made a very good save. Even the first one, there was a header out of nowhere, right? So Kane is always lurking around. He's having a good season, so I expect him to score. But Spurs is, a team that defensively, I think we can look at attacking nowadays,
Yes, even I was not very much convinced with Doherty. I had to just go basically attacking the double. And I had someone ask me about who should I go. I am not convinced about Doherty. And looking at everything, I just said go and get Pinnock. You might be lucky. just don't look at the blanks for now. Just take the points and be happy. And it worked. I should have
Yeah.
probably taken that decision, but I went with the crowd, and you know, that's how it was.
I was a bit sad about Raya because Raya was my pre-World Cup goalkeeper, right? And now everyone is on Kepa. I was on Kepa, but finally Kepa gave me a 10-pointer, so now I'm at least a bit happy.
So we finished Game Week 20 results so far. Although Palace United, it's one thing very briefly, I don't really want to talk about it because, yeah, I'm obviously annoyed that we've dropped points. But the only few things that I would like to say is that obviously Fernandes has played well. I did put him in one of the thumbnails few weeks back and people started asking me, why is Fernandes there in this photo? I think Sankalp knows that. He's not. Anyways, but United, yes, we've been playing well. There's nothing to complain from our end. Obviously, we have a very depleted squad. We don't have a lot of players in every position. And we are not in the title race, just to be very clear. So, anything we are performing and getting points is a bonus. So, we should be fairly optimistic and we need to look at the next game. Anyways, let's quickly look at the current transfer trends, what we've seen so far, what we've been seeing over the last few days. And in terms of the key price rises, they are pretty much straightforward in terms of the players who have been returning over the last few weeks. Anything
yeah.
which is surprising?
Nothing at all. I think Ivan Toney is one guy that I have been sitting off on, you know, still waiting for that, you know, bad transfer ban to come in because of his betting. But I don't know what's happening there. But he's scoring well. His fixtures look good. So nothing surprising to me, at least.
Yes, and we have a Brighton forward there. I think it's Evan Ferguson, who's somewhere in the list on the right-hand side. And he also looked good against Liverpool. And he was playing like a typical traditional, you know, number nine, holding up and linking up the plays. And as a third, probably forward, he's not a bad shot, right?
Yeah, I'm actually looking at him as a possible transfer. And obviously, we'll discuss Brighton and the fixtures and the you know blank game week 25, etc. But I'm looking forward to that guy. I think getting one guy makes sense. And at a 4.5 million, you know, starting Brighton forward, given the way Brighton are playing, it completely makes sense.
So let's move on to transfer trends, key price drops. Obviously, we have Robertson. At Trossard, who's apparently going to move to Arsenal very shortly. We're going to have another Arsenal asset in that price bracket. Let's see what happens. Darwin Nunez, no surprise. And obviously, Mason Mount. We're seeing Haaland in that list right there.
Okay. I think all you need is a goal again today. And he should be good to go, right? Who's selling Haaland so far, so soon?
So we have Haaland, and the other probable, the big name would be Miguel Almiron, who is also looking at a drop based on the list, which is on the right side.
Yeah, so, I think he has got three consecutive blanks now. Right, even I'm slightly, you know, fidgety. His fixtures look good, so it feels bad to sell him preemptively. But one player that, you know, we can move around at least to go to the Brighton guys, right? Fairly similar price bracket.
Yes, and I think we're done with more or less the transfer trends so far. Let's quickly look at what's there in Game Week 21. And obviously, we start with a big game that's Liverpool versus Chelsea. A game that both the teams need desperate points. And we'll see what is going to happen. Followed with the next big game, obviously, in this Game Week 21 is obviously Arsenal against United. But other than that, any of the games that catch your eye?
Leicester Brighton, you know, looks like a good high scoring game, right? Leicester not looking good. I think they're second highest in terms of big chances conceded post World Cup, Leicester. So, a team that is conceding chances left, right, center. Man City Wolves is a match that I'm really looking forward to. You know, last season, this match, you know, gave me a huge push thanks to KDB 4 goals. So, I was briefly considering, you know, maybe playing around with KDB, and then I saw, okay, it's Wolves at home. No reason to do it, you know, go ahead. And I feel City now have, you know, point to prove, especially after that United loss. And Pep's comments recently, you know, was all about, you know, vengeance. He was like, hey, we have done this before, we can do it again. So, one more week to, you know, wait and watch and see how these guys perform.
Yes, and obviously we have a couple of other games that also are very important. Leeds versus Brentford, it's a good game. It's going to be a end-to-end game, I feel. Both the sides, both the teams will go all out. And obviously Fulham versus Spurs, again, it's Marco Silva versus Conte, and it's going to be a tight game.
Fulham away is not an easy place to go. This is something that I keep saying this entire season because they have a good coach, they have a good team. It's a physical team. They don't make it easy for you. Right from the first game week when they played Liverpool, they have been like that. They make it really, really tough for you to settle down at their place. And I expect Mitrovic to score this week again because he's missed penalty, right? He would be really, really pissed. And Spurs don't look good, so. I think guys who are looking to sell Mitrovic, I would like wait for this match at least. It's a home match against Spurs.
Yes, there's another game that is the battle right at the bottom of the table. That's West Ham versus Everton. That's basically 18th place versus the 19th place side. And I think West Ham have nearly completed signing off Danny Ings.
Completed today.
Yeah, so that's another one for us. But that's also going to be a big game in terms of who wants to get up. But neither of the side look very promising.
Yeah, there are reports that Moyes might get sacked if he loses to Everton. I don't expect him to lose this match, but you never know. West Ham have really gone down a level, compared to last couple of seasons where they were playing so well. This season they are not looking good. They have bought good players, but somehow that entire team has not settled. So this might be the match where one team, one manager gets sacked. You never know. Someone like Lampard or Moyes, David Moyes, one of them gets sacked, whoever loses it.
Yes, and obviously we have Palace, pretty much we can say a very inconsistent Palace after the restart. They were not up to the mark. Obviously, they managed to steal a point against us, but they play Newcastle, and obviously, we can say Newcastle are pretty much in form. They're not that bad. But again, that's
Best
going to be a
defense,
tight game.
they're the best defensive team in the league currently, right? But still, it's Palace away, so I'm a bit skeptical. I don't know whether they will get a clean sheet here. I'm not looking to double up, though ideally I think we should double up logically, but I'm still looking to play Shaw rather than that extra Newcastle guy. But fairly tough match for Palace for sure. Newcastle are the informed team. They are looking really set for a top four finish. I think so far, right from the start, they've been really going for it and have been fairly consistent. So something that we have to now, look at that whenever you play Newcastle, even if it's a home match, it's not going to be easy for you.
Yeah. Obviously, I think we have a lot of interesting games this week. Straight away, in terms of many many results could open up different ways for many teams, their performances, their position, even FPL assets. A lot of things will open up, and we are almost nearing the end of the transfer window. So, it's basically the last chance for teams to make quick changes, and obviously. I think Wolves have managed to get in Pablo Sarabia and a few couple of other players. And there are a lot of other clubs also trying to get in players and see if they can turn things around. So it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks, obviously, with FA Cup also coming up. So with that said, let's quickly move on to what we will be seeing over the next few weeks and what we need to keep in mind. So this is something very important. Although it's very early to talk and start talking that this team might blank and all, but Sankalp, can you walk us through what we could expect over the next 2 3 weeks?
It's a very tricky time because there are a lot of decisions which will come in just over in another week or so, right? After game week 21 is when we start expect the decisions to come. First of all, we have a game week 25 is a mid-game week, so you have the FF Cup fixtures also happening parallelly at the same time, and that's the reason that you have some of these teams blanking at the same time. You have the semi-finalist in Carabao Cup, they are also expected to have the fixtures, right? So it's going to be a very complicated very complicated in terms of forecasting who plays, who does not play. One thing is there with respect to Brighton are playing Liverpool this week, in a week's time, and in case they win, they are definitely going to blank because they are going to play the FA Cup fixture and they'll not be able to play Newcastle. Newcastle in itself, if they win and they go on to Carabao Cup, you know, semis, then they will not be able to play Brighton. But one thing is that if Brighton lose one of their matches, if their FA Cup match against Liverpool, there's a good chance that they might play one of Palace or Bournemouth. And I don't know. It's more to do with, you know, how you're forecasting things. But I feel with Brighton defeating Liverpool now, you know, Klopp would be really, you know, based, you know, very set on that revenge factor, right? And the team would be really pissed on Brighton. And I'm expecting that Brighton loses to Liverpool. Then it's all down to whether they face Newcastle or not. If they face Newcastle, they might very well as a, have a double game week in 25. But even if Newcastle is not available and Brighton is available, there is a very good chance that they get one of the fixtures rescheduled, which is Crystal Palace or Bournemouth, which looks good on paper for you know, Brighton, right? That's one. So a lot of you know, this FA Cup results, Carabao Cup, these are you know, a bit muddying down the way we can plan for things, and that's one of the reasons we have, you know, we have our article on about FPL, which talks about how we can, you know, sit back a bit and decide after the deadline, right? What is your plan? Are you saving your transfer this game week?
Yes, as things stand, I am saving my transfer because I'm pretty sure there's a good chance in game week 22 United is going to double and Leeds is going to double. Both the teams are going to double. And in terms of United, I think most of us have two assets. We'll just probably need a third one in terms of maybe if Martial fit or Weghorst or Bruno. So that's the only reason I will probably use my one transfer and then save another one, and then we'll see based on the FA Cup results and what we can expect down the line.
I'm a bit confused primarily because I have two people that I want to sell. One is Martial, one is Zaha, who I got last week just to attack the double. Now, easily I can get two long-term players, which is Saka and Ferguson. Right? Saka for me is a very easy set and forget. Ferguson is a guy which I'm thinking about because he gets a blank, possibly, in game week 25. But at the same time, if we look at the fixtures that Brighton has, I mean, it's too you know, attractive for me to, you know, miss out on. And that's one of the reasons I'm thinking that, hey, maybe, you know, I can think of, say, I assume that a Brighton loses against Liverpool. And even if they don't face Newcastle, there is a good probability that they face one of the teams, and this is going to be an easy round, right? This game week they face Leicester, then they face Brighton at Bournemouth at home, then they face Palace away, and then they face Fulham at home, right? So there are four good fixtures already, which I can attack. And then depending on how things are looking 25, I think by 24 I can take a call, right? So ideally it's just that -4, is it worth it or not? I feel that, you know, Brighton assets are fairly attacking in nature and the fixtures are good enough for us to think that that -4 is worth it, right? The only thing that Suresh and I were discussing last game week is, hey, do you use your free 8 and 25 or do you use it later? I feel that 28 sort of, you know, fixture has a good potential because you have teams like Liverpool, Chelsea who can double up, can even double up in a blank game week, right? So there it makes sense for you to jump around and, you know, make sudden changes. But in this fixture where there might be a significant number of teams blanking, I just feel that I'm okay playing with 9 players or 10 players. I might take a -4 just to, you know, keep myself competitive, but I won't sell out on my long-term good players at all. That's one of the reason I'm okay with taking a punt now, evaluating on game week 24 how things look. But anyways, even if you take a hit now, by game week 22 deadline, you will already know all this information. So you can plan out in game week 23, 24 again, but it's risky moment where you are booking your transfers, right? Something that most of the experienced FPL managers will always ask you to avoid. These are my thoughts as of now.
Yep, pretty much. I think into the same concept of wait and watch and then decide. Because obviously, we know that we are going to get confirmed news at certain some point, and that's pretty much we've mentioned. Like game 22 double, we will be getting in some weeks or some days, and obviously based on the FA Cup results, we will know what's going to happen later. So I think if you want to play aggressively, you can. but bear in mind
Yeah,
what you might face later. It's as simple as that.
correct. If you're playing risky, right, you just have to accept the returns out of it, be it positive or negative. It'll be high for sure.
Yes. And the next slide will basically have, obviously, we're going to look at the three maybe most talked about, or maybe rather two most talked about things that over the last few days. It's obviously Saka versus Odegaard. And this is in line with the double that might be coming, or that is in game week
23.
23. So, what do you think? And I want to add another question right away from the chat, wherein we've got another question here.
Perfect. This slide we created primarily because we have been getting a lot of questions around Arsenal assets right now that you know Arsenal players are doing well. And you feel like you should go and have an attacker. Who should we get? Should it be Saka? Should it be Odegaard? There was a tweet which we saw online, right? Number of points people are getting, both Saka, Odegaard, and Martinelli are getting every 5 game weeks. And there's a lot of variance, very difficult to evaluate who's doing what. But I was just comparing the metrics between Saka and Odegaard, and this is from purely from the last 10 game weeks, 11 to 20. If you look at the shots in the box, and these are the players who have played almost the entire match for Arsenal, and they have played the same number of matches, so the base remains same. I've looked at the inherent metrics, right? What is it that shows you that a guy can return? Whether he takes a lot of shots, whether he creates much, right? These are the things that we look at, and what, how advanced is, does he play? If you look at Odegaard's heat map, it's fairly central compared to Saka, which is much wider in nature. Then, if you look at the XG, right? Even from an XG point of view, Odegaard is doing fairly well. And this is where I was surprised because I was expecting Saka to do well from an inherent metric point of view, even if he's not getting the returns. But and when I look at things like XG, I see that, Odegaard has almost double the XG of Saka. Then I go to shots. Odegaard has 11 shots in box. Saka has just 7. Odegaard has 9 shots and targets. Saka has just 4. So more than double the shots and target is, is tried out by Odegaard, which is really, really surprising me because I expected Saka to shoot more. And then, if you look at the overall number of shots, 24 shots over the last 10 game weeks, whereas Saka's attempted only 10, right? And even touches in the box, Odegaard is higher. So it's not that he's not no longer playing as the third midfielder that we were earlier expecting him to play. He's now playing very advanced. He has more touches in the box than Saka itself, right? And if you look at the big chances created, also he's fairly, overpowering Saka's metrics. I was fairly confident that I want to get Saka in. Yeah, it Odegaard, I was thinking, hey, maybe this is just, his confidence. But if you look at his stats, they really show that he's playing well and he's playing so much advanced that a lot of these opportunities are coming to him. Now, looking at all these things, if you ask me today, who should I prefer from a Arsenal midfield? I think your first choice should be Odegaard. It's just not the form. I think it's the way that we are now playing with Eddie and Nketiah coming into picture, right? The entire shift up has happened where Eddie is linking more with Saka and Odegaard, and Martinelli continues to stay wide, and you see someone like Odegaard shooting more, creating more chances, everything, right? So last 10 game weeks is a fairly long sample, and if you ask me today, who should I go for, Saka or Odegaard? I think the answer is Odegaard. Right. With respect to the question that Arsenal, we just saw Arsenal have agreed to the transfer and we got Trossard in. I'm fairly happy with that. Does his signing make Martinelli a rotation risk? I think it reduces his minutes because what was happening currently is Saka, Martinelli, these guys were playing like 80, 85 minutes on an average every match. Sometimes even 90, 90 after 90 after 90. What it does is when you see someone like Martinelli, last couple of matches, Martinelli has not looked very bright. He's played very wide and he just tried to impact. But his last good match was, I think, the Brighton one. So if you see Martinelli struggling a bit for 60, 65 minutes, there's a good chance that now Trossard comes into play 25, 30 minutes, right? I don't think Trossard will start in place of Martinelli. Not so soon, maybe another 3, 4 weeks, and then we get to know, right? If Martinelli continues in the form slump, then maybe. But so soon, I can say that is just his minutes will get impacted now. And that can obviously be a factor as well that, if you see someone like Saka, someone like Odegaard, they will play much more minutes. And if Martinelli plays just 60 minutes, obviously the impact is going to be lesser, right? It's a wait and watch, but not a rotation risk for me. It's just a matter of minutes, and that should come out strongly, come down strongly.
I feel the Trossard signing is good for Arsenal in terms of he's a player who's very fluid, who can play anywhere in the front line. And I think there's a good chance that he can also give, there's a good chance he can play up front, and Nketiah could be, given rest now and then. And then we could have a very different front line. And also, I think Smith Rowe has also made a comeback now. So we might see a very fluid Arsenal.
Yeah, we
With the
have six
option.
players now. Up front, we used to have three, right? So we have three and three backup. So we have six players now. And ideally, I think we will not rotate in the PL, right? I think these players will go back a bit earlier if they have good matches. But I don't expect us to rotate in PL, but I expect the FA Cup matches to have these guys, getting the chances. And finally, Saka, Odegaard, Martinelli, they're getting those rests. Which is fairly important as well for them to perform.
And do you think maybe if Martinelli's performances, continues the same way, maybe a sideways move to Odegaard? What do you think about that?
So this is something that I was thinking about. Should we do it? Should we not do it? But I think the metrics are very clear. Over 10 game weeks, if these are the kind of metrics that we are seeing, then it is sensible for us to consider it. I'm just waiting for the Everton match because I think Arsenal at home, Everton away, these are good matches where the teams are centrally very strong, right? So they will block your central areas, and generally our wingers do well in those matches. So I think these are the two matches that I would like to see how Arsenal does, how Martinelli does. And if he returns well, then I might be more skeptical. But if it does not return, I think it's a good switch to have Martinelli to Odegaard.
Okay, there's another question right up in the chat. I'm just going to pin it. First, I will give my three players and then we will see what you say. So, given unlimited transfers, which three players we would pick from Arsenal in Gaming 23? I think I would go one with Ben White, two with Odegaard. And the three again is again, we are caught up between Saka, Martinelli, and Nketiah. So, in terms of the price constraints, solely because of that, I'm going to go with Martinelli. I think most of us will have him. So I think these would be my three picks, and this is going to be the most common three picks. What do you think? Any other different players? Any choices?
Long term, I would agree with you, but game week 23, I think our clean sheet might be dicey because one is a City match itself, right? And Brentford at home, while we'll play, I feel we'll play fairly strong, but you never know. Brentford is a good team. They might score one. And that's one reason that I might not, pick White. But I have White in my FPL team, so I'm going to play him regardless. But if you're looking to buy, I might not tell you that, hey, this is the game week to buy. Because after that, I think White has a really long run. So long-term pick, White is a, Ben White is a very good pick. But for that, I think I'll go with Odegaard. Saka is my first two without thinking. And third, I will go with Eddie. Primarily because I think Brentford match, Eddie will do well. He will score. City match, it's very difficult to say, who can score. Whether we'll score, that's a different thing. But I think the Brentford match will be much more, compatible to the way Eddie plays, and he'll get chances as well, and I think he'll score. That will be my front three.
And even Trossard, we'll see what happens by Game Week 23. So we're done with the Arsenal boys. Let's quickly go on to the next match and let's quickly finish up this episode. And we have that. Obviously, it's Bruno Fernandes versus Kevin De Bruyne. And yeah, everybody fell into the trap of people were looking at Salah versus KDB, and then I think those who went with Salah immediately are actually the winners. Still, basically, it was of the first week after the break where Salah hauled and KDB just kept on blank, and he gave a five-pointer now. And we'll see what happens. He didn't train for a day, but I think he's pretty much set to play today. So what do you think about this comparison? Obviously, this comparison
It
is
blew my
giving us a
mind.
very different answer.
When I saw this, I was like, what? How is it possible that, Fernandes has scored really well, strongly better than KDB. And one of the reason I kept the first start metric is for us to know that because the number of matches might be different. I think United has played one more, during this time. But if you look at the first start metric also, he has 5.7 Bruno, whereas KDB has just 4.67 so far. I looked at goals. He's given more goals, right? X points is higher. Then I looked down at the chances created metrics, which normally you expect KDB to, really dominate, right? Even there, you see that Bruno has 3.6 chances created against KDB 3.3. Bruno has 1.1, big chances against KDB 0.89. And XA also, Bruno is, overpowering KDB. And that made me feel, hey, we have completely missed this, right? Had I seen this, getting into this game week, I might have picked, Bruno as my third United pick, and which many some of the United fans did, and they got a 19-pointer haul, right? Which is a huge difference, right? It could have taken me out from a 1.4 to within 1 million range. And even if I'm looking at the shots on target, etc., right, fairly close, right? I did not expect Bruno to have changed, so well during this period, during this 11 to 20 period. And now it makes me think because KDB is not doing that great, Salah is not doing that great. All of us are stuck on a Kane and Haaland combo because they are both doing well, right? Why not make Bruno a third, premium player, which gives me that extra 2-3 million. To play around 2 million at least to play around with and to upgrade 1-6 million guy to 8 million guy, right? So now I'm really excited, especially because that double game week might come for United, and that's one of the major reasons that I want to sell Martial this game week itself, clear out that third slot, and if that is announced, KDB to Bruno move seems clear for me, right? At least for 22nd. But what are your impressions, as United fan? How does Bruno look to you? Is there anything which has changed?
Obviously, Ronaldo leaving, it was good, to be honest, straight away. I'll be brutally honest. There's a lot of unwanted stuff going on, and with him going out, unfortunately, things didn't end the right way, but it had to happen for, the better things. And obviously, Bruno has been playing well. He's the captain, obviously, now, since Maguire has been dropped. So, obviously, the armband goes to him. And overall, United gradually are improving game by game in terms of getting used to the style of play and playing consistently, which has improved. And obviously with Fernandes, I think one big thing we are noticing is that the spine of a team is very important in any footballing team. Right away, back from the defense to the midfield and to the forward, if it clicks, all the players in the specific position will be able to play their role. And obviously, with United, with Varane playing well, Casemiro playing well, and then up front, we have Rashford who's been playing well over the last few weeks. It obviously is enabling the others to play their role more freely. And this is helping Fernandes, Eriksen, and all of the others to play their natural game. So I think obviously we're seeing the ideal output of what Fernandes is supposed to give. He's been playing well. But again, we obviously had the Solskjaer era where Fernandes was scoring loads of points only because United were getting loads of penalties. That is a separate thing. But now we are seeing a different version of Fernandes wherein he's being the more creator as well as the scorer being at the right position at the right time. But other than that, one thing that benefited people getting Fernandes this week, I think, is solely they went with Salah first, which allowed them an option this week to, like, hey, it's KDB versus Fernandes. I may go with Fernandes. In my case, in other cases, we went with KDB over Salah, knowing the fact that there's going to be a double for City now. But with United's double being announced all of a sudden, in such a short span, there wasn't a chance for us to do the sideways move here and there. So I think those who managed to get in Fernandes this week, great job, great thinking, good luck. But again, for in terms of the short term, obviously, even with this question we had, and even what you answered, KDB over KDB or Bruno over the next few weeks, and obviously, there's a good chance United double in 22 and City double again in 23. So maybe just you might have to do one again and again in and out. think that's the thing. But you'll be wasting two transfers in this process.
Who does United play in 23 when City double?
I think it's Leeds and Palace.
23, they have a single play
Oh,
fixture end.
sorry.
After that.
23. Let me just quickly think. I just remember 23. Wait a minute. It's showing Leeds away.
Leeds away, right? And Leeds away is, I think, a fixture where Bruno normally
That's
does
a
well.
fierce fixture. The
That's a
rivalries
fierce
all
fixture.
come out.
Correct, correct. And I know
So
Bruno does well because United hit well on counters, right? I think if you have to pick one and not book a transfer, I would go with Bruno because Game Week 22 are two easy fixtures and Game Week 23 is also easy fixture. When it comes to City, while KDB does well against Arsenal generally, this time I expect it's going to be a bit of difficult transfer, match, and they're not looking that fluent. And that's why, while it might sound risky, but this is the season where a lot of teams or a lot of players have surprised us. I think Bruno is looking like the player who will surprise us going into this next 4 matches, 4 game weeks at least.
yes, even I'm sort of semi-convinced, but I'm just waiting for Game Week 22 guaranteed, like announcement done, like
Yeah,
that's the
of
fixture.
course.
Then I think the floodgates will open very much.
Thanks.
Quickly, we'll go on to the last comparison that we have. The most talked about probably Almiron replacement. Both of this, that's obviously Mitoma against March.
Yeah.
And Mitoma has been looking good post
But
pre
March is
World
good.
Cup too. But March is scoring in World Cup also, he looked decent. Solely March was fantastic against Liverpool. He was excellent. He was all over the place. And I couldn't believe Gross literally played as a right back. And the way they were playing, oh, it's awesome. That game was, it was very good to watch for once, a team that just threw Liverpool off.
Yeah, and I was very surprised because Robertson was the guy who was supposed to, mark Solly March, and he's a very good defender, right? And what used to happen is Brighton used to play on the other side, on the Mitoma side, right? And entire Liverpool defense used to shift towards side that side and try to mark them, compress them out. And suddenly they would ping one pass directly to Solly March, and he would just have a run, right? Especially in the first half, I think Robertson himself blocked a couple of shots from Solly March, right? He did not let him get a chance, and he also gave a had a weak shot on Alisson. All the chances he was free,
And one
but
pen which was offside, obviously it was a very
yeah,
soft pen, not given for
correct,
off.
correct, correct, correct. Yeah, but he's getting into good chances. What surprised me, because I had a lot of people saying, "Hey, Mitoma is just the guy who's looking good, and March is the guy who's going to give you points." And generally, also, I've seen that De Zerbi, his right wingers do really well. Goals and assists, if you look at his X record as well. I saw a tweet and it was comparing, and all his right wingers do well. The only thing, when I looked at the per stat metric, again, I looked at 11 to 20. This time, I'm looking purely as a per stat because Mitoma did not play a lot of earlier matches. I don't see a lot of difference. If you look at 6 pointer for Mitoma, 6 pointer for March, right? If you look at XG also, Mitoma is actually at 0.43, whereas March is at 0.27. His X points look good. His assists look good already per stat metric, right? Touches, he's fairly stronger in the box. He's 6.8, whereas March is only 4.3. And chances created is actually the metric where March is looking good. So now I'm thinking maybe we are getting sucked into that Liverpool match and thinking, hey, March is the better asset. Because over 10 game weeks, whatever is the number of game weeks Mitoma started, he's done really, really well, right? I think he's played around 6 odd matches and he's done really, really well. And the inherent metrics as well as the actual points also is fairly strong. So there may not be a wrong answer, like when we are discussing with Arsenal, I always keep saying, hey, whoever you go with him because you are going to get points, right? I think it's going to be the same here, but Mitoma, his underlying metrics, his stats, everything looks good. And don't just look at the Liverpool match and think March is a strong asset, much better asset. Things might be much closer. It might be fairly similar. And then it's up to which side you can target. One thing I wanted to share with you guys, and this is something thanks to Srini, who shared these details with us. This is on the matches ahead for these guys, and which team concedes more chances from which side, right? So Brighton have next four matches: Leicester, Bournemouth, Palace, and Fulham. So if you start with Leicester, they have conceded over the last six matches 24 chances on Mitoma's side and 15 chances on Mars side. If you look at Bournemouth match, again 23 chances from Mitoma's side, 21 chances fairly close from Mars side. Then Crystal Palace, they have conceded very fairly strongly on Mars side, because 7 chances on Mitoma's side and 19 chances on Mars side. And then if you come back to Fulham again, 8 chances on Mitoma's side and 6 on Mars side. Again, these are good number of chances so over the last 6 game weeks. So both look good picks. But if you look at the overall picture, I think Mitoma is going to play in a side where these teams are going to concede chances way more, are expected to concede chances way more. Looking at the overall picture, now I'm, a bit more sure about Mitoma as a asset. So these are the three questions that we were getting during this game week, and we thought, we'll use the metrics to see who can be a better asset.
Yes, and for me to quickly summarize, even when the game started, when the score was goalless, that's against Liverpool, I was pretty sure if I was to replace Almiron, it's Mitoma. Just because I knew that long-term wise, he has the potential and he's someone who will get you points. Not maybe every week, but he might get you those 5-pointers, 6-pointers, 8-pointers. But the way he plays is obviously, dragging players and then releasing and doing something, getting around the defenders and doing something in the box that will ensure something, there is an output. And that was what I was fairly convinced. Obviously, they're pretty similarly priced, 5 and 5.1. And March is someone who had an excellent day against Liverpool and he took his chances and it went. But credit where credit is due, he's been playing well this season. And I know when Brighton came up to the Prem and Solly March was someone who was playing as a left mid first. Then he went as a left wing back under Potter. He was moved around a lot of couple of different positions here and there. And I think probably he's found a sweet spot under De Zerbi and he's able to unleash his potential. And we are talking about him as an asset. So things have changed over the last 4 years. I think that's it.
Listen, I think we are more or less done with the data that we wanted to share, right? We move on to our teams.
Before we move on to our teams, let's quickly answer
For
any
the Q&A.
questions that are there. I think we can see, I can see so far two questions, and this is one. Banking my transfer, I'm thinking of banking my transfer this week. Next week, I'm thinking of removing Almiron to Odegaard and Mitrovic to any suggestion. Two.
Next game week, if you look at 22, you can attack a United forward. Marcel looks injured, but I think we're still 50-50, right? Do you expect Marcel to be out for long? Then you have a Weghorst, agenda again for another double game week. Is that going to happen?
We'll see in terms of Martial's fitness what's going to happen. I know before the City game, Ten Hag did say that he's a doubt and we may not play him. We may play him against Palace, but he took the risk against City, and once Martial was injured, he realized that he made a bit wrong, difficult decision, and that's probably cost Martial the injury. I think Ten Hag will probably play safe and get him back only once he's fully fit. We know that Martial has been struggling with injury a lot. So we will definitely see Weghorst play or Garnacho or something here and there. So I think probably Martial will see what Ten Hag says, but mostly I don't think he'll start unless he's completely fully fit.
If Marcel is not fit, I think there's some amount of risk, but a punt on Weghorst can be there as your third United asset in case you have a space. If not, I think you can go Arsenal, because Arsenal have the double the next week, right? So looking purely at double in a similar price range, I think United Arsenal asset are look good. Or else you can go with, like I'm looking at, you can try out Brighton guy. But if you're looking to try out a Brighton guy, I would say do it this week. Then you have more weeks to see the impact and then move in and move out. For example, this week they are facing Leicester, which is a good match, and next week there's Bournemouth. You can attack these two fixtures and then take a call. Hey, this is working or not. But that's a pure short-term move. These two are good long-term moves.
Yes, and the next question so far, that's what we have. If you guys any questions, those are watching, please do drop in and we'll try to answer as much as quickly as possible. Son to who? I have KDB and Haaland. No, Salah.
Bruno.
I think I will pretty much say yes to it. But overall, if you need to downgrade Son to someone a bit more cheaper than Bruno, there are a lot of other options. If need be, you might need to strengthen your team elsewhere, especially in the attack or the defense. So we have options in the eight, obviously now a few
Definitely.
of them, and then obviously we have the Arsenal players here and there. So those are a couple of options. Obviously, do depends on the squad. And I think we're done with questions so far. Let's move on to our teams, and this is Sankalp's team, I think.
Yeah,
So
so this is
set
the
it up
bus
this.
team. This is the bus team. I've not made any changes. I have Mr. Trap Zaha and I have Mr. Injured Martial. These are two guys that I want to move out primarily because I want to get in Saka and I just want to close that point, you know. But now you guys are making me think, you know, especially looking at the metrics, I need not take a hit. And this I have to do on a hit, right? I need not take a hit. I can do just a Zaha to Odegaard and then, you know, go in and watch the next match and see how things are. And at some point of time, I can, you know, look to find my other move. But my initial thought was a Zaha to Odegaard and a Martial to a Ferguson because I want to attack the Brighton fixtures as well. Fairly short-term planning, right? It's a risky move. I know that we don't know about game week 25, but I'm assuming that game week 25 we have a Brighton match, even if because I am expecting them to lose FA Cup match, this can backfire. But assuming these things, I am thinking of doing a move and attacking the first two fixtures at least for Brighton.
That's a good move. Let's see what's my team. And I'm going to roll my transfer. I need to roll it, obviously. I pretty much
Team looks
very
good.
templated team. There's nothing else to talk about here.
Team looks good.
Only thing is
I had a
Mitro.
question. Mitrovic, I think, looks good. I had a question to you. Do you want to double up on Fulham? You have Andreas on bench, Pereira on bench. Almiron is not doing that well and he's on a, you know, away Palace match. Do you want to swap that move places?
Actually, I was initially thinking of shipping out Almiron for Mitoma.
Okay.
So I may do that, but I'm looking at game week 22, perhaps getting rid of KDB to Fernandes or something like that. So that's the thing. That's my thinking. So yeah, I may shuffle around my bench here and there, maybe bench Almiron. I may do that towards the end, but more or less, I'm going to, you know, bank my transfer. I'm going to play
And Ben
safe.
White on bench for you?
That's the bias playing now.
To be honest, I've seen a lot of guys saying, hey, Ben White over Shaw. Overall, I feel, yeah, logical because I think we will score. I'm not sure whether United scores. Maybe United scores. But I have benched Botman and I've played Shaw because I think you never know, right? Because United are playing well. They are a team on form, right? And I want to respect that. But at the same time, I think there's a good chance that Arsenal get a clean sheet. I'm not sure of Doherty over White more than Shaw. Right, because I think Fulham definitely will score, and if there is some chance that Doherty is injured, it makes more sense to, you know, just play White, right, rather than him coming off the bench and giving you 1 point.
Yes, so Doherty is ill, is I think what we know so far. I think we'll obviously by tomorrow or when the game in a few hours we'll know whether that's the truth or not. So yeah, I'll see, and most probably I'm going to roll my transfer, and obviously I'm going to shuffle the bench here and there. It's just the bus team, as we call it.
Yeah, I think your team looks good for this week. It makes all the sense to, you know, save the transfer and then attack 22 or 23, whichever you want to attack. But so far you have Martinelli and White, right? So who's your third guy that you are looking to move to?
So my initial My plan was to get Nketiah as the third striker.
Okay, for
That's
Mitrovic.
always what I was thinking. Obviously, specifically, that's why Martial, I had got him in after the World Cup. Obviously, to play around with the third spot and then with the Fulham's double and here and there. You know, it's a very spontaneous game, right? You need to make very quick decisions. Every week, things change. The player you get in this week is the one you might have to ship out next week. So you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's this these are the weeks that I would say either you have a leap of faith and go for something that you believe will happen, or else just sit back and try and get as much information as you can, right? So it will show you the kind of manager that you are. If you are a guy who wants to take risk is okay, because there are some good fixtures ahead. Even in 21, 20, 23, we have doubles as well. But if you are someone who wants more information, take more information. Just that with respect to Arsenal and United, I feel these are two very good teams, at least after a long time we can say it. And if you are,
Finally.
if you want, yeah, exactly. And if you want to pick someone, you can pick someone this week, right? Because regardless of whether they double 22 or 23 or not, they have good fixtures, and those good fixtures are going to give you good return, right? So that's one thing for me. Take good players, don't get sucked down into the double game weeks. Sometimes it's a pure trap, right? Like Zaha was last game week. So try and find good players and just go with them. They'll give you good returns for sure.
Yeah, Zaha was indeed a trap, but in Sankalp's thinking was basically Zaha against United at Selhurst
Yeah,
Park
I
always
was banking on
settles
that. Almost
that.
there, right? 90th, 91st minute. He was almost there one on one.
So we'll answer this one final question. Will you be dropping KDB after City's double? City's double, if you mean this game week 20, obviously not, only possibly for 22.
I think I was asking 23. I might do it before it also. I think 22 Bruno looks too good to miss out on for me. And 23 again, United have a good fixture. So I might do it before. But after that, I might not do it, because if you have it till then, 25 City are expected to play on a blank game week, then why make changes for players who are expected to play, right?
Indeed, we're going to see a lot of movements there, here and there. People are going to waste their transfers getting in and out the same players. That's what we're expecting. So that pretty much brings us to the end of this game week 21 stream. It's a pre-early stream before the last game of game week 20 is actually done. We pretty much tried to cover up everything that's with the information that's available at this point in terms of the price rises and what we can expect, and a few of the key debates in terms of which players to bring. So once again, thanks to Sankalp for taking time to join, and thanks for everyone who took the time to join watching the stream and posting questions. Please do drop us a like on this video and subscribe. Obviously, it will help us with the YouTube stuff. And we will be back before Game Week 22, post the FA Cup results to see what is going to finally appear after Game Week 22.
Correct. I think
And
we have a long pod ahead next game week, because there will be a lot of things to discuss.
yes, indeed. So yeah, that brings us to the end. Hopefully you guys have an amazing game week 21, and yeah, we'll see you all next time.